ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We're reading this morning from text 1 through 4, and we'll chant number 1, Canto 4, Chapter 21. This is the first verse. Chapter is entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, and he's returning back to his palace after this exchange with Vishnu and Indra and so forth. The Lord making his appearance, and no, king is going back to his palace.
Maitreya uvacha, Mautikai kusama sragbir,
Mautikai kusama sragbir,
Dukulai svarna toranai, Mahasurabhir-bir-dupayar Manditam tatra-tatra-vai Maitreya-uvacha Mautikai kusumat sragbir Dukulai svarna toranai Mahasurabhir bir dupayar Manditam tatra tatra va Maitreya uvacha. The great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Mauktikai, with pearls. Kusama, of flowers. Sragbihi, with garlands. Dukulai, cloth. Svarna, golden. Toranai, by gates. Mahasurabhi, highly perfumed. Dhopai, by incense. Manditam, decorated. Tatra tatra, here and there. Vai, certainly. Translation: the great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the king entered his city, it was very beautifully decorated to receive him with pearls, flower garlands, beautiful cloth, and golden gates, and the entire city was perfumed with highly fragrant incense. Purport by Srila Prabhupada: real opulence is supplied by natural gifts such as gold, silver, pearls, valuable stones, fresh flowers, trees, and silken cloth. Thus, the Vedic civilization recommends opulence and decoration with these natural gifts of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Such opulence immediately changes the condition of the mind, and the entire atmosphere becomes spiritualized. King Prithu's capital was decorated with such highly opulent decorations. That's the end of the purport, so we'll read a few more verses. Text 2, fragrant water distilled from sandalwood and a guru herb was sprinkled everywhere on the lanes, roads, and small parks throughout the city. And everywhere were decorations of unbroken fruits, flowers, wetted grains, varied minerals, and lamps, all presented as auspicious paraphernalia. At the street crossings, there were bunches of
fruits and flowers, as well as pillars of banana trees and betel nut branches. All these combined decorations everywhere look very attractive. Text 4. As the king entered the gate of the city, all the citizens received him with many auspicious articles like lamps, flowers, and yogurt. The king was also received by many beautiful unmarried girls whose bodies were bedecked with various ornaments, especially with earrings, which collided with one another. He must have had long earrings. Purport. Offerings of natural products such as betel nuts, bananas, newly grown wheat, paddy, yogurt, and vermilion carried by the citizens and scattered throughout the city are all auspicious paraphernalia, according to Vedic civilization, for receiving a prominent guest like a bridegroom, king, or spiritual master. Similarly, a welcome offered by unmarried girls who are internally and externally clean and are dressed in nice garments and ornaments is also auspicious. Kumari, or unmarried girls, untouched by the hand of any member of the opposite sex, are auspicious members of society. Even today, in Hindu society, the most conservative families do not allow unmarried girls to go out freely or mix with boys. They are very carefully protected by their parents while unmarried. After marriage, they are protected by their young husbands. And when elderly, they are protected by their children. When thus protected, women, as a class, remain an always auspicious source of energy to man. End of purport. So we'll go back to the verse. Maltikai kusama sragnir dukulai svarna toranai maha surabhi bir dupayar manditam tatra tatravai. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the king entered his city, it was beautifully decorated to receive him with pearls, flower garlands, beautiful cloth, and golden gates. And the entire city was perfumed with highly fragrant incense. Two purports, it's the indication, and as well as the verse, the verses, these decorations were placed in various ways to create an atmosphere of auspiciousness. And auspiciousness is not the essence, but auspiciousness, the essence is the essence. The essence is bringing one's attention with full absorption to the personality of Godhead. And from that position, engaging in his loving service. That's the essence. And transcendentally auspicious is that which is conducive for that. Now, many of the things in the Bhagavatam, many of the cultural presentations within the Bhagavatam are indicating, at least according to the consciousness of the individual, perhaps another kind of auspiciousness. The auspiciousness of creating favorable circumstances for the achieving of worldly purposes. That kind of auspiciousness. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna specifically indicates that the process of devotional service rises above and is transcendental to those kinds of auspicious and inauspicious things. Shubha Ashubha Palayar Eva Mokshase Karma Bandhanai. The process of devotional service goes beyond auspicious, Shubha, and inauspicious, Ashubha, and Mokshase Karma. It breaks the bonds of fruitive activity. So that's the essence. The essence is devotional service to Krishna, not even moksha or shubha or avoiding ashubha. That's devotional service. So that's certainly the focus of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, for persons who do not have that focus on the essence, these items of auspiciousness and removal of inauspiciousness is really important, because their interest is material elevation. For the devotees, while it's not the essence, it's something that is it's more than nice. It's an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His dear representative or representatives. In this case, the king or a brahmana or spiritual master or a respected elder member of the Vaishnava community. These are then presented not for specifically creating material auspiciousness, but they're appropriate honorific offerings. The auspiciousness is different. The auspiciousness is pleasing to Krishna. That kind of, just like there's different kinds of piety. Shunvata Sukata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Punya means piety. So the piety that's created by Shravana Kirtana, hearing and chanting Krishna Kata, it's not the same as the material piety, or say it the other way. Material piety can't create that. Material piety can create auspiciousness for removal of inauspicious things from achieving worldly purposes, just like in the Karmakanda. We discussed this the other day. In Karmakanda rituals, one of the essential parts of a Karmakanda ritual is, after stating the bhokta, the enjoyer of the yajna, by mantra, then invoking the particular deity who one is propitiating through that Karmakanda ritual, and making a statement of that which is being requested of that devata, the propitiated controlling personality. There's invoking of the name of Ganesh for the purpose of removal of obstacles for achieving one's material interests, because that's a function that he performs. So many people, many Hindus, place in their home, and also even specifically at the door or above the door, a little figure of Ganesh, so that for entering into the home, inauspiciousness is removed, and auspiciousness is created, so that when the activities that take place in one's home, and when guests are also received, he's there to remove all inauspiciousness and misfortune, so that good fortune and opulence and well-being and prosperity and all of those nice things will take place within the house. And then within the house, or within one's puja room, because he removes inauspiciousness when one wants material well-being. That's the mindset and the practice of elevationists, material elevationists. Mentioned this already, but in our Brahma Samhita prayers, there's also a prayer to Ganesh, where he's honored because he's holding the lotus feet of Govinda upon his head, the two protrusions or tumuli from his head. On those protrusions, he's holding the lotus feet of Govinda. And by that, he is given the ability or power to do what he does. Of course, devotees are interested in removing inauspiciousness or obstacles in the process of reaching the essence. So, as it is enjoined in Nectar of Devotion by Rupa Goswami to worship Ganesh, Prabhupada introduced that in a different way by worship of Lord Nrisimhadev after the performance of Arati and otherwise, because he removes from the devotee's heart, not just like the Hiranyakashipu person's outside, but the malady or the impurity. There's a very nice verse in the fifth canto, prayers by the residents of Jambudweep. In that section, there's a nice prayer by Prahlad where he prays to the Supreme Lord, "Your sharp claws and your pinching teeth are very perfectly designed to remove impurities from my heart. Please take them from my heart. Please remove the inauspicious things within my heart so that I can serve you properly, serve you with real devotion." That's the function of Lord Nrisimhadev. All those inauspicious things removed by Lord Nrisimhadev directly. Or, if one is a highly elevated Vaishnava and can understand Ganesha's function, one can approach him as a devotee of the Supreme Lord who is kindly assisting the Supreme Lord in that function. And then it's nice. Then it's a devotional practice, not, you know, I wish to have the obstacles for my material prosperity removed. So, these items of auspiciousness emphasized by Prabhupada in his purport are, they're produced naturally. And, like, during the time of the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, both by the quality of Maharaj Yudhisthira as king, because he was such a qualified king, the earth supplied bountifully, and so there was these features of natural opulence abundant. And it just so happened there was another good reason for the earth to supply abundantly. Krishna was walking on the earth, and by the touch of the feet of Krishna upon earth, Mother Earth was thrilled and bountifully supplied all of these nice opulences. And as Prabhupada is stating in the purport, they create an atmosphere of auspiciousness. Now, they in and of themselves don't do that. Meaning, kings who may not be so religious, but were very, 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 very opulent. Like Henry VIII. I don't know so much about Henry VIII because I'm not British, but during lunch one day, when we were having our little GBC retreat, Pragosh Prabhu, who's from Ireland and was educated in the UK, was going on this whole description of Henry VIII. I just know, you know, from the popular song, Henry VIII, I am, blah, 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 blah. So, but what a debauchee that guy was. He went on and on about, you know, his degradation. I won't repeat it. Very opulent. So that opulence didn't create auspiciousness in his life, nor for his citizens. So specifically, Prabhupada writes, such opulence, I'll read the two sentences. Real opulence is supplied by natural gifts such as gold, silver, pearls, valuable stones, fresh flowers, trees, and silken cloth. Thus, the Vedic civilization recommends opulence and decoration with these natural gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence immediately changes the condition of the mind, which is true, and the entire atmosphere becomes spiritualized. Well, it depends on the mentality of the person. The person's mentality, King Henry VIII, was degraded. And so those were just objects for his grandeur and his display of gaudy spectacle, so the people kind of just went along with his degradation program instead of tossing him out, because man was abominable without details. So they in and of themselves don't create the spiritual atmosphere. It creates an atmosphere of veneration, and when that atmosphere of veneration is reposed on the right person, like Maharaj Prithu, then it helps the citizens appreciate this great personality. Of course, they can appreciate the great personality without those things, but it helps. Creates an atmosphere of auspiciousness, where it may act to spiritualize the atmosphere. Just like, you know, the nice flower decorations on the altar here. We can worship the deity without nice flower decorations. I've heard this maybe more than 50 times from Ramabhadra Prabhu in New York, that Prabhupada writes, or it's in Archinapada, it's in Hari Bhakti Vilas, that the Supreme Lord, far more than items of silver and gold, he enjoys flowers. Ramabhadra is a flower fan. He spends lots of money on buying very opulent and fragrant flowers for the deities. Why? Because that's what pleases the deities. And you do those things that please Krishna, he becomes happy. Not just because he gets something he likes, but because the devotee's heart is oriented towards what he likes. And just appreciating Ramabhadra's devotion for the deity, his policy is spare no expense. Spend for the deity. We can live austerely. The deity is to be honored with opulence. Anyway, then that spiritualizes the atmosphere, and when one sees the deity or receives the person, it spiritualizes the mind, as Prabhupada is saying here. Such opulence immediately changes the condition of the mind. And the thought is perhaps, oh, how beautiful, or oh, how opulent. But take it a step further, what a nice offering to Krishna. And take it a step further, how Krishna must be pleased by that nice offering. And that enthuses the mind spiritually. Now, the comment that Prabhupada is making here is that culturally this is done when receiving personalities such as prominent guests, such as a bridegroom. So now we're going down to just like a cultural thing. And, you know, these days it's something else. Anyway, without going into detail. But it makes the occasion festive so that, oh, here comes the bridegroom. So, it's the parents of the daughter are making these arrangements, not the parents of the bridegroom. The parents of the daughter wish to receive this new in-law or family member, and with great dignity, and like the section in the Bhagavatam in the third canto where Devahuti is married with Kardava Muni. He's living in a forest. He's an ascetic, but the father is Swayambhu Manu, who has like mega opulence. So he, when the marriage takes place, mega opulence is gifted to Kardava Muni. Now he doesn't need opulence, but the gesture is the gesture of respect and appreciation and honoring this individual. He's to be honored. Great personality. So whether the person may not be a great personality, as Kardamuni is a great personality, the cultural message, because the Bhagavatam has such cultural messages, the cultural message is these are nice, and within one's means, not something exorbitant or silly, but within one's means, some gesture like this is nice. Nice. Like during the time that Prabhupada was with us, we liked to make the Vyasasan very opulent and decorate the Vyasasan with flowers and things like that. So when Prabhupada would sit, not you would see him in a very nice, you know, wow. This is nice for Prabhupada to sit in, kind of thing, or devotees would make things for him without detail. It's pleasing to the heart, and the interest of Prabhupada was not, oh, now I got my 10th watch this week, because he would regularly get things like that. Then he would literally take the other wrist watch off his arm and give it to the person or somebody, and then take the other one and wear that for like a few hours and give another one. I'm not advocating let's get into that kind of a program. It's just it's a reciprocation of love. Anyway, and the items of natural beauty are especially the focus here. Natural opulence is offered to the king. And one of the mentioned and purported opulences, the kumaris, the young unmarried girls. And many places in the Bhagavatam, this is one of them, where Prabhupada mentions, it's a cultural point, but it's more than a cultural point. It's that which is auspicious for society is where young girls, before they're married, they're protected by their fathers, and they're not mixing freely with boys, and not touched by boys. Now, in the Hare Krishna movement today, that's not popular. I have my experience. under different names, it's not appreciated. But it's repeated over and over and over and over. And there's a reason for it, that it's over and over. It's important. It's important, in the final sentence of the purport, in one, is just one item. And that is, when thus protected, women as a class remain an always auspicious source of energy to man. And then you can say the opposite is when that principle is not observed, it's always an inauspicious source of energy to man. And when there's that man-woman thing or boy-girl thing, because this is speaking the unmarried girls, it's bedlam. It's all inauspicious. The atmosphere becomes inauspicious. And when that's the case, then inauspicious things happen. And it's completely unnecessary. It's not desirable when that happens. Or what's so better is this principle. Now, Prabhupada chooses his words carefully. He writes, even today in Hindu society, the most conservative families, so those who follow this principle may be considered conservative families. But what's the purpose of being a conservative family? To create auspiciousness for one's dependents and to conduct oneself in society in such a way that auspiciousness is created. Now we can have these different levels of auspiciousness, and ultimately for society in general, not only one's daughter, but society in general, to go closer to Krishna. And the obstacles removed by auspiciousness of going to Krishna, one of the biggest ones is boy-girl stuff, where he's attracted to her and she's attracted to him. And, you know, that desire becomes stimulated by mixing. That's right in Bhagavad Gita. By contemplating objects of the senses, the domino program happens. And so a conservative position may not be a popular position, but Prabhupada was not interested in popularity. If he was interested, he said specifically, if I was interested in popularity, I could do these following things. But I'm not interested in popularity, I'm interested in providing for sincere souls the opportunity of achieving the goal of life. I'm not interested in popularity. Because popularity isn't going to give that. Doing those things that are popular are not going to give that. Because what's popular? Like think of products that sell. You know, consumer economics. What sells? Or, you know, entertainment. What entertainment do people like? And it's not the higher modes of nature. It's the lower modes of nature. So if you want to make a movie that's really popular, do. One of those three things. And if you want to make a movie that's like to elevate the consciousness of the audience, it's not going to be a big hit. It's a small market. So they want profit, so they make what people want. Like Prabhupada makes the comment, similar, it's just the same point in a similar little metaphor. In the marketplace, there are not so many people that go to buy diamonds, because the cost is very high. Although, if they had the means, they may go. But not very many people, because they don't have the capacity there, so there's not a big market for diamonds. Of course, the merchants make big markups, so although the numbers of diamonds sold, they make a big profit, so they're wealthy. diamond merchants are wealthy, commonly. But not so many people are interested in going to Krishna, really. They're interested in something else, whatever the something else you might identify it. But the teaching of the Bhagavatam here specifically, so I'm emphasizing it, this creating of auspiciousness for achieving the essence, going to Krishna. And this is one of those items where, as King Prithu was returning into the royal city, these auspicious young unmarried girls who were untouched by any mixing with boys, they were brought forward because they're auspicious. And you know, from the message of Bhagavad Gita, when that principle of protection of women is there, then when children are produced, the children are similarly from those good mothers or women, good children are produced. And when good children produce, it's good for society that good children are produced. So protection is there. Although it's not popular. The other is popular. For boys and for girls, for men and for women. That's other is popular. But that's not our program, being popular. It's not the Bhagavatam's indication. Because Prithu was who he was, the citizens were who they were, and they knew the Vedic principle, and they're exhibiting the Vedic principle, and they're living by it. And that creates auspiciousness. And in that auspiciousness, progress in spiritual life. So, although maybe one might consider such things as secondary, and the primary is hearing and chanting, if one engages in hearing and chanting and is negligent in the secondary items, it can make hearing and chanting difficult because one's mind is distracted by the inauspiciousness of contaminating influences or inauspicious influences and distracted, as Rabindra Prabhu says, distracted by distractions of distraction. Like there's layer, in other words, there's layer after layer. You take away some item of distraction and there's the principle of the mind being agitated, so it's distracted anyways. And then you try to address that and it's just like the rebelliousness against Krishna is behind it all. Distracted by distractions of distraction. Washing the lump of coal is a long process. So these items are important. They're not the essence, but they're important. And those who are wishing to reach the essence are advised to observe the secondary items, the cultural items, along with the primary. The primary is still primary. The secondary is to help the primary. But we observe the secondary, the cultural items also. So any discussion? We're at 8:27 and we have to disappear in 12 minutes. Comments or questions? Yes,
for this class was very, very nice. I learned a lot of good points on this being the word auspicious for us. I think we really defined. Thank you so much. My question is just a quick question. So you said Lord Ganesh removes the material, the hindrance.
Removes obstacles in the course of achieving one's desired goal. Yeah.
So usually they pray that, like all other karmakanda rituals, they pray that first, just to remove whatever they do. So So I was just wondering, when we do things or the prayers, but we do pray to Lord Narasimha at the end of the program.
Yeah, so if we make, if we, just listen, if we've made some mistake in the course of the worship, please remove the obstacle that's created by Seva Parad. That's what we do. And positive. We wish to worship you. By that bhakti principle, the offenses are removed. And specifically, there's the invoking of descending mercy. Specifically, there's the invoking of that descending mercy. It's not within the prayer, the Nrisimha prayers that we chant. If we made some mistake in the course of our, you know, that's, it's within the glorification of Lord Nrisimha Dev. He will do like that. Okay?
Okay, okay. Just a second question is like, you know, in the temple, generally when we go, there is a, before going into the Garbhagraha, there are like a few distance away, there will be like a Stula Stamba and then Palipida will be there, right? In the temple.
Okay.
So, usually their function is just to, like when they go into the temple, like they remove inauspicious thoughts, consciousness, and all that. I know very little things on that. So, before we enter into the Garbhagraha, to see the Lord Darshan. But I was wondering, most of the Krishna temples, like ISKCON temples, when we go, like here also, I mean, in India also, they don't have it except in the ISKCON in Tirupati. I saw that when we went for Yatra, there is a school of Tamba and everything was there. So, just one was curious to know what, because is that, like the reason or I don't need it or, you know, just like that.
Devadatta Raman, when planning the temple construction, was very aware of the audience and the surroundings. Like, you know, the Sri Vaishnavas Tirupati. So for those reasons, the Garuda Stamba is there. Now, in Vrindavan, Prabhupada planned the Vrindavan temple, and he didn't place, because there are other ways, not just rituals, but ways by which inauspiciousness is removed and those kinds of things. So, according to location, he didn't, although he could have, because there, and the Juru temple. Ganesh is really popular in Maharashtra. But he didn't do that. Now, because in part for some of the same reasons that he didn't teach us about worship of Ganesh, he didn't introduce that. Because ours is the chanting of the Panchatattva mantra, for example. When we chant Hare Krishna, we begin chanting Panchatattva mantra, and before that, the prayers to the spiritual master, pranams to the spiritual master. That's our method. That's our Gaudiya Vaishnava method. It's already included. So the emphasis then is not upon the ritual, but upon sound and hearing and chanting, and what we hear and chant to help us in that way. That's the emphasis. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.